Blessed is the man or woman who is in a right relationship with God. Not blessed in and of itself is the person whose sad or hard life circumstances have been changed. But deeply contented and blessed are they who are right with God. We continue in our study of the Beatitudes, the great statements of blessedness spoken by our Savior Jesus Christ. Today, we are confronted with one of the most heart-searching and solemn statements in the Bible. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. In it, Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." We've discovered so far in our studies of the Beatitudes, firstly, this shows us what all Christians are like and are to be like. It also shows us that all these Beatitudes are character traits of all Christians. And thirdly, none of these Beatitudes are normal to natural unbelieving man. They are actually unnatural because they are given by the grace of God through the Holy Spirit to true Christians. The Beatitudes, and in particular this one, shows us that it is impossible for someone to make themselves a Christian. Blessed are the pure in heart. What Jesus is asking for is totally impossible for ordinary human beings to achieve. How so? The prophet Jeremiah helps us by saying and asking the following question. Can an Ethiopian change the color of their skin? Or a leopard, its spots? Neither can you, who are accustomed to do evil, do good. We can't change our own hearts. Jesus doesn't say, blessed are those who are pure in language. That is humanly possible. Or, blessed are those who are pure in action, or in ceremonies, or in what they wear, or in their food. All these things can be done. But blessed are the pure in heart. How shall we understand what Jesus is saying to us with these words? Let us first think of the word heart. Let us begin with a heart. Now, Jesus is not referring to hearts literally. Our physical hearts as the organ pumping blood through our veins and arteries. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Rather, Jesus is talking about the heart, metaphorically speaking. The heart as the center of our emotions, our minds, our wills, our personalities, the real you and the real me, who we are as a person. The foundation of everything else comes from it. That is what Jesus is talking about. Now, the Pharisees in Jesus' day focused very much on the outward appearance and behavior of people. Outwardly, they sought to be spotless, but inwardly, their hearts were filled with evil. Jesus himself spoke to them and exposed them, saying to them, "Now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and the dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness." That's unfortunately the evil of a lot of religion in our world. But God is concerned about your heart. Who you are on the inside, not just your behavior. That is what God said to Samuel in the Old Testament when he called King David as king. Samuel went out and he surveyed and interviewed all David's eldest brothers, or older brothers. And then the Lord said to him, "Do not look at their appearance or their physical stature, because I have refused them. For the Lord does not see as a man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart." Therefore, the Bible emphasizes to us that the heart lies at the root of all our troubles. You might remember the Lord Jesus putting it this way in Matthew chapter 15, verses 19 and 20. "For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands, do not defile a man." Children, when you quarrel or fight with your siblings, do you realize that your words and actions are a mirror which God is using to show you the condition of your own heart? Our problem is not that we have dirty hands, but rather that we are sinful on the inside. We are defiled. And it is the inside that determines the outside. The heart determines the conduct. It is out of our hearts that all our problems arise. The prophet Jeremiah puts it this way. He says, "The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" The tragic lie in our society today is that people think that all man's troubles are due to this environment. And to change a person, you need to change their environment. This overlooks the fact that in paradise, in the Garden of Eden, man fell. In Islam, to have the perfect Muslim, you have to create the perfect environment, like a Muslim-controlled state. It was in a perfect environment that the first man went wrong. And so to put man into the perfect environment cannot completely solve all his problems. Parents, as you raise your children, are you addressing their hearts? Or have you been concerned more about their external behavior and have been focusing on changing their environment? Jesus is emphasizing the heart and not so much the head. He says, "Blessed are those who are pure in heart." Not blessed are the intellectuals. The Christian faith is ultimately not a matter of doctrine or intellect or understanding. It is a condition of the heart. Doctrine is essential, don't get me wrong. Understanding of truth is non-negotiable, but it goes deeper than that. When people have merely an intellectual understanding of the truth, it has often ended up in untold problems, even in the church. If someone is a theologian and has an interest in doctrine and theology, it doesn't mean that all is well. The Lord says it is not essentially a matter of the head, but of the heart. Neither is it essentially a matter of externals and conduct. The Pharisees and the religious people are always ready to reduce life to a matter of externals and conduct. But if it doesn't come from the heart, it comes down to nothing. When we read Isaiah chapter 1 earlier on, we saw that God said to His people, Israel, that their acts of worship were repulsive to Him and He had rejected them. Why? Because they were repentant in their sin and had made their worship unacceptable to God. And so God commanded them to get themselves cleaned up. Or to put it in the language of the prophet Ezekiel, to get themselves a new heart. This text is very relevant to us. We are not here for a religious ceremony or some good moral advice. No. God is interested in our hearts, to touch our hearts, to change us at the core of our being. That brings us to the next word that our Lord Jesus is using. You notice in the phrase, the word pure, pure in heart. What does the word pure mean? We need pure hearts. The Greek that is used here refers to clean or unmixed. Firstly, clean. It means without defilement. It has a parallel to holiness, set apart from sin. Jesus is speaking of cleanness of the inner being, the inner person. God requires clean, holy, absence from sin in behavior and heart. Nothing that is impure can stand in the presence of God. We read earlier in Psalm 24, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted themselves up to an idol or sworn deceitfully. And nothing that is unclean or impure shall enter heaven. That's what Ephesians 5 and verse 5 tells us. For you know this, the Apostle Paul says, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Pure means clean, undefiled. But it also means undivided and unmixed. For wine to be pure, it must not be mixed with water. In a similar way, a Christian must be undivided. It means without hypocrisy. There must be nothing hidden. Everything needs to be open, true, and sincere about the life of any professing Christian. Not like Mr. Talkative in the book The Pilgrim's Progress, who loved to talk about spirituality, but his religion had not affected his lifestyle and certainly not his heart. Because everybody knew that he was drinking too much and he was mistreating his family and his servants. And Mr. Buy-ins, who openly followed Christ, but he was very selective in how and when he practiced his religion. When it is easy, simple, and it benefits him, then he's a Christian. But when it is not, When he needs to sacrifice or deny himself, then he chooses the world. He was a fair-weather Christian. Talkative and by ends were hypocrites, for they had divided hearts. God requires an undivided heart and will consider him that will consider him more than anyone else, which is exactly in line with the greatest commandment, that we are called to love God with all our hearts, all our minds, and all our strength. Pure means an undivided heart, like the Lord Jesus himself. The Bible tells us he committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth, in 1 Peter 2, verse 22. Back in the Old Testament, the prophet Samuel challenged the people of God by saying to them, "Fear only the Lord and serve him with all your heart. For consider the great things that God has done for you. But if you do wickedly, you will be swept away, both you and your king." Shortly after that, God commanded King Saul to attack and totally destroy the Amalekites, for previously having mercilessly attacked the Israelites. So what did King Saul do? He attacked them, but then he spared their king Agag. And then he also, after the people begged him, spared the best of their sheep and their oxen. And so he disobeyed a clear commandment from God. His heart was divided, not fully with the Lord, and for that, the Lord rejected him as king. May I ask you, where is your heart? Is it with God, or is your heart committed to someone or something else? Where is your heart? The psalmist tells us in Psalm 86, and maybe this is good advice for us. He says to the Lord, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth, and give me an undivided heart." Because only the pure in heart will see God. That brings us to the next phrase. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. These words have a partial fulfillment for the Christian in this life, but also a complete fulfillment in heaven in the future. In this life, the Christian will see God. True Christians will see God in the sense that nobody else can see him. How so? First, the person who is pure in heart will be able to see God in creation. They will hear the footsteps of God in the garden of the earth. Get the heart right, and you will see the hand of God everywhere. In the storm, or in the lonely desert, in the busy city, in birth, in death, in present, in time, in events, in the lives of people, in history, etc., etc. But further, the pure in heart will see God in the Scriptures, in the Bible. Impure minds cannot see the trace of God in them. They just see reasons for doubting whether it is the Word of God. And that's about all they can see in the Bible. But the pure in heart can see God in every page of the blessed book. As they read it, they bless the Lord that He has been so gracious and pleased to reveal himself to them through the Holy Spirit. Besides that, the pure in heart sees God in the church. Impure hearts cannot see him there at all. To them, the church is nothing but a conglomeration of divided sects. Looking upon these sects, they can see nothing but faults, failures, and imperfections. But the pure in heart sees God in the church and rejoice to meet him there. The pure in heart can see God in the face of Jesus Christ. In Jesus, God is made flesh. And they are amazed. And they look at him, and they listen to him, and they commune with him, and they see Almighty God in the form of their Savior. The pure in heart will see God with the eyes of faith in this life, but also see God in the life to come, in glory. That's our Savior's promise. He very simply and clearly says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God," and they will. They shall see the living God face to face, in his fullness, in glory. And that will be glorious. Can you imagine what it will be like to see the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the eternal creator of the earth as he is? Faith will give way to sight. The pure in heart will one day enter into uninterrupted, never-ending fellowship with the one who has answered all their prayers, saved them from all their troubles, changed their hearts and their lives, and blessed them with never-ending mercies. That will be heaven's happiness, to be forever with the Lord. And to top it up, there will be no more sickness, sorrow, suffering, sin, or death. What blessedness! In closing, by way of application, the reality is that some people choose Christianity intellectually, or for moral reasons, but they've not had a heart change. Jesus' words imply that they will not see God because their hearts are still impure and undivided. Similarly, there are so many unbelievers and non-religious people, and they have no desire to see God. Not interested at all. That reveals the state of their hearts, according to our text, showing that their hearts are impure and divided. It should be remembered that every person sees that which is according to their own nature. When a vulture flies in the sky, it sees its prey wherever it may be. And when a dove mounts up into the sky, she sees fruits and seeds wherever it may be. The same with a lion, sees its prey in the bush, and a lamb its food in the grassy fields. Unclean hearts cannot see God. That is the explanation for their disinterest, ignorance, indifference, and so on of unbelievers. The question is, how can our hearts become pure? How can they? Well, no one except the Messiah, the Lord Jesus himself, was ever born with a pure heart, because all have sinned and all need their hearts to be cleansed. The heart can only be cleansed by God through His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must come upon a person in order for their hearts to be changed, and it will not change until then. That great process of cleansing the heart takes place as a person takes hold of the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in the atoning blood of His sacrifice on the cross. Before Jesus was born, the angel announced about Jesus to Joseph his father, "And you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." When the Holy Spirit finds that a person has an unclean heart, then He shows them their sins so that they can see that they are defiled. That is to say, if someone wants a pure heart, they first need to see that they have an impure heart. Then the Holy Spirit convicts them that all efforts of self-cleansing, albeit religious, ceremonial, voluntary service or good deeds, are all doomed to failure. Because even our best deeds are worthless, and they cannot cleanse us from our guilt. That helps us to see that we are utterly spiritually poor. Then the Holy Spirit causes us to mourn over all the evil that we have done, which will humble us and give us a true perspective of ourselves. Then He makes us to see that we deserve the judgment and the wrath of God. Then He says, "But that judgment and wrath was carried by Jesus for you." He opens our eyes to see that Jesus died for us in our place, on our behalf. We look to Him and believe that He died as our substitute, and we trust in Him for our lives. He gives us the conviction that our sins have been forgiven for His name's sake, and then joy fills our heart such as if we've never experienced before, to cry out, "Now I am forgiven and saved for His name's sake. I will put to death the sins that put Him to death. And if you give me the strength, I will live for the honor of your name for the rest of my life." The direction of a person's life previously ran toward evil. But the moment someone finds that Jesus died for them, the desire of their hearts turn in the other direction, toward God and His ways. And although there is still a struggle with the old nature, yet from that day forward, the person is pure in heart. That is to say, the heart then loves purity, seeks after holiness, and craves for perfection. For the person now sees God, loves God, delights in God, longs to be with God, and eagerly looks forward to the day that they will be with God forever. This is the process by which the Holy Spirit will work change of heart in the life of a believer. Now, if you are willing, it is freely proclaimed to you. If you do not have a changed heart, God is able to produce for you and in you a changed heart this very moment. If you have a desire in your heart for a changed heart, do not die with that desire, but change that desire into a prayer and cry out to God to show you mercy. Because it is God who says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins are as red as crimson, they shall become as white as snow. And it is He who says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Saved from your love of sin. And saved from your old evil and bad habits. And so completely save you that you will become one of those who are pure in heart and will see God. What is it to believe in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ? It is to trust in Him, to rely in Him. You and I will never get rid of our problems and our troubles until we trust in Him. And when we trust in Him, even if it's this very hour, our problems will disappear. Our sins will be dealt with. There's only one who can conquer your sin. He is stronger than all. He will strangle your lusts. He will kill your evil passions and clean up the pigsty of your defiled heart by washing your soul and cleansing it in the blood sacrifice that He died on the cross for. It's only He who can make and keep you and me clean. So look at Him. Look at Him again. If you started to look elsewhere, Him who hung on the cross, Him who was rejected and despised by men, but God made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. He is the mighty Savior and able to save completely those who come to God through Him. That is how a heart is made pure. So let us join David, who prayed, Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. If you've never done this before, ask God. Ask Him, and He will give you a clean heart. If you have a changed heart, this morning, then guard your heart. Guard your heart. There are many things that will seek to unsettle our hearts and seek to lure them away from God. Especially the devil's temptations and lies, the world's anti-God thinking and attractions, and beware of sin. We can't pray for a clean heart if we are wallowing in impurity and open ourselves up to what is unclean and shameful in God's sight. There is a great battle for our affections, the affections of our hearts, and Christians often struggle to keep their hearts pure. No wonder that the Proverbs tell us in Proverbs 4 verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Children, guard your hearts from anything that would seek to steal your heart away from God. Adults, put your heart into your pursuit of God. Don't forfeit a regenerated, ransomed, changed heart for anything. Guard it. Keep it. Whether we like it or not, something or someone will always seek to control our minds, our wills, our personalities, our emotions, our hearts. Who will it be? You choose. Will it be someone with an unclean heart, like another person, that will control your heart? That will only lead to abuse. Will it be a worldly system? That will only lead to manipulation. Will it be an evil person or even the devil himself? That will destroy your heart. Or will it be him who has the purest heart of all, who out of love gave his life to save our lives? Who will it be? May I suggest, let us look to the latter. He looked at the crowds, and he is looking at us this morning with compassion to teach us and to say to you and me, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray and ask that your words, and only yours, will penetrate and sink deeply into our hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let us rise and sing our next song, Rock of Ages. And after that, we will serve communion and take up new members into membership, and also receive some new deacons into the life of the church.